fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I'm delighted, very excited to have with us this week a good friend, Dr. Peter Williamson. Dr. Williamson is the Adam Cardinal Mita Chair of Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary, and he's one of the chief editors of the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture, which he'll talk about this week and tell us all about. We're going to talk about the Book of Revelation, which he's written a commentary on. I think it's just excellent and gives us access to this book that's so intriguing and in some ways mysterious for us as we read it. I'm going to try to lay hold of it really from a Catholic perspective and current scholarship. What is this book saying to us and some of its main themes? So really looking forward to a great week. Welcome, Dr. Williamson.
Thanks, Pete. Great to be with you.
Yeah, so glad you're here. So there's a lot we could talk about. Maybe the first thing we do is what's the main thrust or theme of this book? What would you like to say about it just in terms of its, by way of introduction?
Well, Revelation is in the last book of the New Testament, and it's a book of Christian prophecy. It's the only prophetic book in the New Testament, and it basically expresses the Word of God to the church at that time, but also to the church of all time. And it speaks both about the present and about the future. If you look in chapter 1, verse 20, this is about what the things that are and the things that will be. So it reveals to us, the church of the present, what our spiritual condition is, what the issues are that we're having to struggle against, what our resources are. Mm-hmm. And then it also speaks about the ultimate future, about the conclusion of salvation history, about the, you know, God's end game and what difference that makes for how we look at life today.
Yeah. The book opens up, the letter opens up with this amazing vision right at the beginning of it that John has. First of all, who's John? Are we talking the beloved apostle here, or who is the John? Do we know?
It's a good question. Traditionally, people have thought that it was the beloved apostle, John, the son of Zebedee. However, there are some good reasons to think maybe it wasn't. Other ancient authors say that it was another John, a John who was called the Presbyter John. We do notice some significant differences in style from the Gospel of John and the letters of John, which seem to be by the same author, and the book of Revelation. The vocabulary is very different. You know, they both call Jesus the Lamb of God, but they use a different Greek word. And also, in both the Gospel of John and the letters of John, they never mention the name of the author. But in the book of Revelation, it four times mentions the name of the author, John. And then he doesn't describe himself anytime as an apostle, but he always describes himself as a prophet. So we know that in the early church, there were both apostles and prophets. We know that John was a common name. We also know that in the city of Ephesus, which is closely associated to the apostle John, there were two tombs attributed to somebody named John. So the possibility that this is a second John who is a Christian prophet is also quite strong. On the other hand, maybe it was written by the apostle and he didn't have the help of a secretary who helped him write the gospel and the letters. Or maybe he changed this out. We don't know for sure.
Okay, good. Right there in the first chapter, John talks about on the Lord's day, he had a vision or he had an experience of the Lord. Describe what that is and what its meaning. Because I think it's very powerful. Something very powerful is being communicated to us through it.
Yeah, well, John describes himself as being on the island of Patmos, off of the coast of Turkey. He had been sent there as an exile for speaking the word of God. So because of his evangelization, he had been exiled. And so he says he was worshiping on the Lord's Day. That's the first reference in the New Testament to the Lord's Day. I think it's the only one, indicating that Christians worshiped on the first day of the week, the day of Jesus' resurrection. So he was maybe celebrating liturgy with some other Christian exiles on Patmos, and he had a vision of the Lord. That's pretty much, I think, what that tells us about what was going on there. Now, it was a very extraordinary vision, and in fact, the whole book of Revelation is a book of visions. There are other books of the Bible like that. Ezekiel, Daniel both have a lot of visions in them, some of the other prophets as well.
In verse 12, he starts to describe what he saw. Maybe if I just read that section, you could comment on it.
Sure.
It says, Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden girdle around his breast. His head and his hair were white as wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. And from his mouth issued a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand upon me and said, "Fear not, I'm the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Now write what you see, what is to take place hereafter." That's an amazing vision.
It is a marvelous vision.
Yeah.
So what's extraordinary is that this is Jesus. This is Jesus of Nazareth, now risen from the dead. And this is symbolic language. So he's describing in picture language the sort of glory of Christ. And what exactly he saw in his with his physical eyes or in his mind's eyes, we don't know. But he actually deliberately uses expressions used in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament that describe God, the hair being white as wool or white as snow. In Daniel chapter 7, there's a picture where the Son of Man is presented to the Ancient of Days. And so this image of Jesus has both characteristics that you would say, okay, that's a human being. But on the other hand, in fact, it calls him a Son of Man here. But on the other hand, he has the divine characteristics of God. Mm-hmm. So it's an expression of Christology. It's an expression of saying this Jesus, who is the risen one, he identifies himself as the one who died and rose again, mm-hmm. is God. Mm-hmm. So it's a great theological teaching, and then as well as a tremendous encouragement. And it's also tremendously awe-inspiring, because now we see that this Jesus, who was crucified on the cross and seemed dead, is alive, and he's the king. That's what is meant by he wears this gold sash around his chest. That was an expression of royalty. And the two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, that's from an images in the book of Isaiah about the word of God as a sword.
Mm-hmm. And what about the eyes flaming fire? What do you think that means?
I think it means his penetrating vision, that he sees to the heart of matters, and then also he's powerful and he's the judge. Mm-hmm. And so his eyes see right through us. His eyes see everything. And therefore, our hearts are exposed before him. Our lives are exposed before him. There's nothing we can hide. Let's come right out, because he sees everything. Mm-hmm. An image appears later in the letters, the seven so-called letters or messages to the churches. Pick out elements of this vision of Jesus from the initial chapter and focus on them. And so one of them says, "He who has the eyes like flames of fire says..." Mm-hmm. And it's basically saying, look, I see you, I know you, don't try to hide, deal with what's dark and shadowy in you, bring it to the light, because I'm the one that sees, and I'm the judge. This is also Jesus depicted as the end times judge. By calling him the Son of Man, it's alluding to, again, Daniel chapter 7, which speaks about the Son of Man, to whom all judgment and rule and authority is given by God. So this is the risen and reigning Christ, who sees into our hearts and judges each person according to his deeds.
And then John's response, "I fell to the ground as though dead."
Yeah, yeah.
Just being able to see the awesomeness of Christ.
Yeah.
And then the significance, Jesus is the words that Jesus speaks to him, "Fear not, I'm the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." He's bringing a particular consolation to John. What's John dealing with, or what's he facing? Is he helping John with something he himself is facing on Patmos, or is he just revealing a truth about who he is?
I think he's just revealing a truth about mm-hmm. himself, but it's actually an important truth for the church at that time and for the church of all time, which is death is defeated. You know, death is the last great enemy of mankind, and Jesus is laughing at death. He's saying, "I'm the first and the last. I'm the one who lives." That's my defining characteristic, is I'm the one who lives. I was dead, but now I'm alive. and I hold the keys of death and Hades. I control it. Yeah. It's my pet, yeah. Death and Hades. I've got them in my hand. Yeah. And so it's declaring in some ways the victory for the whole human race. Death has been defeated. You know, the ones we love who have passed away, it doesn't matter anymore because death has been defeated. Jesus has defeated it for all time. So that's what he's saying. It's over. Death is over. It's done.
Yeah, it makes me think about the line from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, where, you know, it's the devil's strategy to enslave the human race through the fear of death. And here Jesus is saying to John, don't be afraid of death.
Exactly.
The devil's strategy is to enslave you, to steal your hope, to lead you to despair, to think you have no future in all of that. But I've defeated it all. You need to know that. You need to see that so you can be free. You can come into my freedom even now.
Exactly.
Through faith, if you believe that and accept it, right?
Yeah, and many Christians today are sort of cowering before death. That's the ultimate thing. That's the worst thing. That's the most horrible thing. I know of a friend of mine. I just heard yesterday, I was talking to a good friend of mine whose mother is elderly. She's dying. She's been a Catholic for all her life. And she's afraid of death. And she's afraid of hell. But she's been a faithful Christian all her life, you know. She needs to have hope in the love of God and a trust in God and not to fear death, because death can't hurt us anymore now that Jesus has done what he's done. Now, let me just tell you, read one paragraph on my book. It's a comment, it's a reflection on the lines, I was dead, but now I'm alive forever. And I say this, the joy and hope of these words reminds me of a scene from the conclusion of J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. After falling unconscious when the ring was destroyed, Frodo's friend Samwise awakens and sees someone he thought had died months earlier. Gandalf, you're alive! I thought you were dead! I thought I was dead! Is everything sad going to come untrue? And the message of Revelation, expressed in these opening words of Jesus, is a definitive yes! Everything sad is going to come untrue. The revelation of the risen Lord in the book and the understanding that it evokes of who this Jesus is will enable Christians to face whatever challenges and circumstances come our way.
Yeah, no, it's really good, and it's a good way to end a program. And you see, Christian hope is the confident expectation of this very reality being fulfilled in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, that Christ's victory is our, he gives us a share in his victory. Yeah. Having become sons and daughters of God, we share with him. And I just want to mention, Peter was reading from the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture that you could get on Amazon, that Peter is the editor of. They have lots of books. We'll talk more about it through the week, but I just wanted to begin to mention it today. It's the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture. So, Peter, just that we just have like 20 seconds. You would just have any kind of closing thought?
Well, especially today, as we see a lot of persecution of Christians, we hear about Christians being beheaded, we know of Christians in prison, this hope of Jesus, the risen one who's conquered all and especially conquered death, is a great reassurance for us.
No, it's so good. That's so good. Friends, it's a word that we ought to take to heart today. It's a word for you. It's a word that we ought to bring to the whole world, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's won the victory over the powers of sin and death. God bless you. Hope you can tune in tomorrow. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.